Hello, my fellow seekers. Welcome to Into the Work, therapy for empaths, seekers, and the intuitively driven, where you have front row seats to therapy sessions and expert interviews that will help you define the important work that you're here to do. So I guess you actually have something better than front row seats. You practically have a seat on my couch. That's right, you will have unrestricted access to actual sessions with real people exploring real life issues. You will continue to be inspired by powerful conversations with experts and healers that might just share exactly what it is that you need to hear to get unstuck. I am Michelle Poverman. I am a recovering people pleaser and former anxiety-driven empath turned now mostly grounded psychotherapist and intuitive coach. I have been helping people for almost 20 years manage their limiting beliefs and anxiety to finally stop the self-sabotage and step into their gifts. I created this podcast, Into the Work, to give you a place to learn more about yourself and give you actionable strategies to finally move those roadblocks holding you back so you can go for what you want. Above all else, my hope is that this podcast is a catalyst for your awakening. If you're listening, you've already taken a step towards getting off of autopilot, and our next steps together will be taken episode by episode, waking you up to the possibilities, the new ways of thinking and being, so that you can stretch into that next level of your story. The spark has already been lit, and my friend, this is a journey from spark to brilliance. So together, let's light a fire. Hello, welcome to Shadow Work, unmasking the parts of you that are keeping you from fulfilling your dreams and believing wholeheartedly in your worth. Hello, I am Michelle Poverman, and I want to start by welcoming you to my podcast. I have been in the self-worth business for almost 20 years. I've been working with clients to build the foundation of their self-worth for quite a while, and what I can tell you is that if you don't embrace all the parts of you as good, including the darker parts within you, and recognize their gifts, you will keep running from your fear of not being good enough for the rest of your life. So I have a lot of heart in this particular solo episode because I believe this work really helped me. As I was getting into the spiritual side of myself, I deeply needed to heal some deep wounds that were keeping me. I still am healing these wounds. Who am I kidding? I'm still healing these wounds. This is shadow work, and it is so potent. It has been around for a very long time. So let's just start by defining what your shadow is. So psychoanalyst Carl Jung started the work of shadow work. And he referred to our shadow as all the parts of ourselves that we try to ignore, deny, hide away from everybody, including ourselves. Basically, your shadow is the person that you would rather not be, quote unquote, from Carl Jung. That part of you that, while you disown and deny, that part of you is sabotaging your efforts to reach your potential. And that is where I come in today to talk to you about how you can identify what your shadow work is and learn to own it. So that which we won't own tends to own us. I'm sure you've heard that one before. So this is why shadow work exists, because the impact of hiding and denying and stuffing your shadow parts can actually be crippling physically, emotionally, spiritually, but also financially, relationally, like in your relationships, as well as your ability to believe in yourself. This limits like your self-worth, how much you can wholeheartedly believe in yourself. Literally, this limiting of your self-worth creates an invisible ceiling that is very difficult for you to rise above. The ceiling will dictate how you can go into relationships, how deep you can go in those relationships without sabotaging it, how far you can rise in your career, how much joy and happiness you can allow or continue to hold for very long in your life. So while you try to push past your current circumstances, you know, things you don't like, things you're trying to do better, you're trying to grow, you're trying to expand, all this efforting and forcing yourself to grow from your current circumstances are merely a reflection of what your unconscious shadow parts will allow. So while you try to push past your current circumstances by efforting or forcing yourself to grow, your current circumstances actually are merely a reflection of your unconscious shadow parts, right? The parts that your shadow allows. So I'm just going to say that again, because that's kind of big, okay? So that your current circumstances, when you look around in your life, they are merely a reflection of what your unconscious shadow parts will allow. This is how you can discover which of your shadow parts need to be healed, like just simply by taking around a look at your life and figuring out what you don't like. Those are your shadow parts driving. But more about that in a bit. So as an important truth for you to embrace is that your unconscious shadow parts, the parts you deny, the parts you ignore, the person you'd rather not be, those are typically stronger than your conscious parts, right? So all the conscious efforts, your ego's desire to shine and be awesome, your shadow parts are stronger. So you are also not your shadow. I want to make sure you know that. You are not your shadow. Your shadow is just a small but incredibly commanding and impactful part of you that is buried, okay? And it's empowered because it's buried. But it is not who you are. You are truly a limitless being whose soul essence underneath this unconscious shadow is here to expand and grow, simply. So how did these shadow parts even become a thing? So growing up, you learn that people are good or bad. You learn that people have good qualities and bad qualities, right? We all at one point had no idea that there was even such a thing as being bad. For most of us, that was pre-verbal, right? Little young babies, they don't know they're being bad. They don't know good from bad. It's something we're taught. And because at some point you started catching on that some of the expression of your feelings and impulses were met with rejection, and some with acceptance, you learned good, bad qualities, right? Ways to be, ways not to be. With this lesson about what is acceptable and what is not came the messaging that you internalized. Like, don't be angry. Do not be weak. Do not be too much. Don't be selfish. Don't be rude. You get it. So you started becoming vigilant, probably. Most of us did. And maybe you started being more careful. Maybe you felt a lot of shame or embarrassment when your less than desirable parts showed up and others were less than delicate with you. You swallowed that rejection, probably, and learned, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. And I am definitely less than perfect. It's also possible that you may be someone who actually finds your darkness to be your comfort zone. So bear with me because I want to reach everyone who's listening because this is also a possibility. In this case, you deny the parts of yourself that others want you to be. Like perhaps if you grew up female, you know, soft, feminine, empathic, flexible, loving, caretaking, as a means of establishing your own sense of power during the process of feeling rejected. You might have fought back by owning and defining yourself as tough, difficult, strong, inflexible, mistrustful. This was your way of establishing control. It's not who you are, but it is what you did to establish control, to become the shadow. But this is a lonely place. It is lonely to be there. And your work, if this is you, is to embrace the lessons of your light and loving parts, to reclaim them again. Okay? But here is the most important concept that you all need to understand. And I know I'm beating a horse here, but we need both good and bad, light and dark, in order to be whole. You cannot be whole by showing up in the world and trying to prove to everybody that you're all good. Being all good is not whole. It sounds like a new concept, probably, but being all good is not whole. Let me also be clear that shadow work does not stop at identifying the parts that we deny or hide from. It is not enough to do this. That will only leave you feeling more shame and overwhelm and feeling terrible. So if anyone ever offers to do shadow work with you, where they tell you you're going to identify all the castaway parts that feel unsafe and disgusting to own, just say, no, no, thank you. This is not the journey to healing. This is hard stuff. We don't even admit most of this stuff to ourselves. A lot of it, again, is unconscious because it's painful. So the work is not just identifying it. That is more destructive than it is helpful. So you really, in order to do the real work, you must teach yourself how to let them in, potentially individually, meet it with love and curiosity, I mean the shadow part, and try to understand the lessons and gifts it brings. Is it protecting you? Is it teaching you something important about your boundaries that you need in this life? Or the lesson revealing what's been acceptable to your evolving self-worth needs to change? For without the experience of lacking self-worth, you would never know the value of having it. And those are true for opposites. Without the lack of it, you don't really truly understand the value of it. We need the darkness for the seeds to be planted. We need the darkness as like the soil, and we need the light to grow and expand. So the end goal for integration is to own this part and forgive yourself for harboring this part of yourself, but as well as like rejecting it. So let's talk about how the heck you identify your shadow parts. There are three ways today that I just want you to consider. Three possible ways to look at how do I sort of start to identify what it is that you need to pay attention to. First is to notice, I want you to notice when you can't fully believe in your good parts because you are busy hiding or denying the opposite part of you that exists. This is why, by the way, we cannot embrace our light until we embrace our darkness. For example, you know when someone compliments you and you say thanks, but you really aren't absorbing the amazing feeling, but rather performing the act of saying thanks to be kind? It's helpful to recognize the things that you cannot fully accept about yourself, regardless of whether or not someone sees it. For example, when someone says, wow, you're so disciplined and organized, smart, pretty, successful, whatever else, and you say thanks, but deep down, you're like, no, I'm not. You just don't see fill in the blank, right? These are the opposites to your shadow parts that you work so hard trying to be. You will also work so hard at being disciplined that you burn out and fall off the edge of reason. So this just means, you know, you work so hard at proving yourself that you get burnt out and you become the shadow part, right? It gets let loose. Like your walls burn down, your efforting stops. And we become the undisciplined person. So the person who is like, oh, I love how disciplined you are. Suddenly, you know, all that efforting, all that forcing of trying to be disciplined suddenly becomes, we crash and burn. We're exhausted. We're burnt out from the striving. And suddenly we are gaining the weight. We stop getting the awards at work. We lose control and go on shopping sprees only to struggle to make ends meet. Then comes the shame dump, and that feels horrible. I'd like to share a personal example that might help you kind of go a little deeper into this work if I share my own work. And part of my work is that I grew up being a little ADD. Not so bad that it stuck out and I was diagnosed or anything like that, but it certainly was an undercurrent in my life. And when you have ADD, it's possible that you are missing things, you misunderstand information. When you're in class, you can feel pretty lost. You lose track of attention. You ask questions someone already answered, right? And so it would be super uncomfortable for me and downright painful if I was ever called out on it. I had the wound that began very young of being stupid. And so as a kid, it would be so hurtful when friends would be like, you know, duh, or that's a dumb question, or, you know, anything that showed that I was being seen that I was stupid, right? That I did and made a mistake. And now the shadow part of me of being stupid, you know, it took root. I also want to point out to you that doing the shadow work and pulling up this I'm stupid shadow part of me, this part of me that I have worked against my whole life, it helped me to see that, and there were other words too, that I'm a ditz, I'm a flake, I'm not smart. Those were kind of the flavor of it. So I was the ditz and the flake, and so later I became the know-it-all. Just like the person who is not disciplined becomes the overachiever, right? We become the opposite. We strive to be the opposite. And that's why it's important to look at what you're striving towards. But after doing the shadow work and learning to embrace, I am a flake, I could begin to see its gift. Because for me, being a flake also became my drive to know. So while, you know, it was masked in looking like something I'm not, or that I believed I'm not, right? So I believed I was stupid. And so I had this drive to know. I know a lot about a lot. I can talk about a lot of different things for a long time. And so knowing a lot comes as a gift from being the stupid kid, right? The one who was making mistakes. And when I really examined it, I also realized the part of me that is dumb, the dumb blonde, the ditz, the flake, was also my playful part. The part of me that is creative and a bit detached here, making jokes about myself and jokes about the world. Like, it was a very playful part before I shamed it. And even after I shamed it, when it did come out, I started to make it more, you know, attached to that playful part more. The reason why I was playful is because the part of me that was experiencing I'm being a flake, was when that happened, I wasn't striving. I wasn't working to hide anything. I wasn't being overly serious. I wasn't trying to pretend like I'm the smartest person in the room. I was just simply being sometimes silly, sometimes ridiculous, sometimes totally off the mark and owning it and not caring. So the flake part of me kind of became the playful part of me, and it got squashed for a long time. And being serious and making sure I know enough and that everybody sees how smart I am became the bigger role in my life. And so doing the shadow work has allowed me to embrace both parts, because I am everything. We are all everything. And so I am dumb and I'm a ditz. And I'm a flake, and I'm brilliant, and I'm smart, and I'm together. And so I'm everything. And so are you. You are everything. And so notice the compliments that you can't absorb, or the positive things you can't fully accept about yourself when people say them. Notice what you're striving towards. These are important ways to start to pull out what your shadow work is. Second, another way to understand your shadow parts are to look around at your life and honestly evaluate what patterns show up that you don't like, okay? So finding yourself in relationships that are not good for you, that you keep repeating similar patterns with people. Perhaps noticing that you're frequently the victim of circumstances in your life, like that poor me defense keeps showing up too often and leaving you feeling powerless a lot. Setting goals, perhaps, and plans for your future that you never actually make happen, right? They do that all the time. That is a good place to look at a shadow part. Picking fights with your partner when things are good. You know, going out on a date night and a good date night and sabotaging it by starting a fight. Never making enough money is another one. Never making enough money, or always having just enough, never more. Okay? That is also wired in there as something that you need to look at and what your shadow part is. Third, this is my favorite. I want you to notice who pisses you off. Okay? So that's right. Notice who and what you cannot stand in other people. Does Sally take up all the air in the room and talks over people and interrupts them, needs to be the center of attention, and you can't take another minute, right? Or perhaps for you, Sam acts so needy, constantly needing your reassurance that you're not mad at her. Seemingly, this is weak and it's annoying. And so you just out of this friendship. Looking at who drives you nuts. Clingy, rude, or pushy people. People who are dismissive. People that cheat and cut in lines. Those people drive me crazy because I became a rule follower. So yeah, these are your people. They are your mirror of what you will deny and not accept about yourself. So if somebody in the room is driving you crazy, it's very highly likely that they're not bothering anybody else. Or maybe they're only bothering a few people because that person that's driving you nuts is only not following your rules. They are not following the rules that you have in place to keep yourself in check so that your shadow part is not seen or acknowledged. Make sense? So if someone or something bothers you, I want you to look deeper. It truly is the gold you're looking for. It will help you understand what it is that you need to heal by owning it and forgiving it and seeing its gift, right? One last thing in terms of your shadow work that I want to point out. Without fully embracing all the parts of you as worthy and important, you can never fully own your light, okay? I know I'm beating a horse here, and I did just say that, but I want to say it again because we need to hear things over and over. Okay, so you can never be whole. You can't truly step into your power, and you really can't believe truly in your worth. This is the truest form, you guys. This is the truest form of imposter syndrome. Not embracing all the parts of yourself leaves you acting as if you are all of the good parts. You're acting as if you're all good. You're trying to project out into the world that you are all this awesomeness, right? And therefore, feeling like a total imposter because this whole other side to you exists. This is also why success can be actually scarier than failure. Because as an imposter, the higher you rise, the greater you will fall when you are found out. Am I right? So the true goal of shadow work is to finally become whole, to actually claim wholeness versus seeing it as some elusive carrot dangling in the distance you can never reach. Big, vast words like that, like whole, self-actualization, have always felt to me like something in the horizon that's really mysterious and beautiful, but I'll never really touch. It always felt conceptual. But I have realized that doing the shadow work is about actually making it right down here on earth, like allowing you to claim wholeness, to start to see the rewards of self-actualization. So, you know, when people are like, be the most you can be, or hey, the tagline, it's time to fully love and accept yourself, become who you are meant to be here. Great. Now, how do I do that is the question, right? So this is it, folks. This is a framework to dive into the depths of your humanity and bring and embrace all of who you are. This is the magic sauce. So that said, I created a free shadow work toolkit to get you started. I have included meditation. It's not really meditation. It's more of an experience, but it takes you on a journey to meet, integrate, and love the parts of you that are ready to be healed. I have also included a PDF of some of the most important questions you need to ask yourself to unearth that which is buried pretty deep, okay? And so this might take some time. You may need to carve out some time to do some of these exercises. They are worth it, I promise you. Actually sitting down and doing it, you can't just read them and think about them for a couple of seconds. You actually have to sit down, you have to answer the questions. You actually have to go through the exercise. The really awesome thing is with this is that you can do it again and again. You can use each of these again and again to go deeper into the work. You have more than one shadow, my friend. It is true. You have more than one shadow. And you'll be able to utilize this meditative experience for integration as well as the PDF to keep going back and unearthing this stuff and doing the work, which is what this is all about. Thank you for listening to Into the Work, Therapy for Empaths and Seekers. Don't forget to grab your free gift, your Shadow Work Transformation Bundle at michellepoverman.com. I've included everything you need to get started, to break through the patterns of self-sabotage and finally start to heal the parts of yourself that are getting in the way of truly reaching your potential. From a powerful meditation designed to help you meet and embrace your shadow self, to the guide that's full of curated prompts and important questions to support you on this journey. This really can be the work for you to unmask the root cause of all the issues you've been experiencing, honestly, and start to feel free to believe in yourself and go for what you want. The link for this free bundle is in the show notes. And if you like this episode, I would be so grateful if you could take a moment and rate, click and follow, and leave a review. Of course, you can always follow me on socials at Michelle Poverman. And keep in mind, as you embark on your journey from spark to brilliance, remember, the universe is always conspiring in favor of your awakening. Everything that's happening is in support of you lighting your own fire within. So until we meet again, may your path be well lit and your heart be guided. Shine bright, seekers, until next time.